Chapter 3. Valley View Ranch, North Las Vegas, Nevada. 0835 hours, 3 September 2005. When Castillo, wearing a polo shirt and khaki slacks, walked out of the house to the pool, he found Tom McGuire, Jake Torrine, and Lorimer, all in sports shirts and slacks, sitting at a table drinking coffee. He saw Casey's cook standing by an enormous stainless steel gas grill that apparently also functioned as an ordinary stove, and decided they were politely waiting for their host to show up before eating. Jake nodded at Castillo, but didn't speak. "Eddie," Castillo ordered, "why don't you ask Sergeant Mulroney to join us for breakfast?" Lorimer wordlessly got out of his chair and went into the house. "Is he, the cop, going to be a problem, Charlie?" Torrine asked. "I think that's been taken care of. I'll tell you later. Here comes Frank." Aloysius Francis Casey came out of the house.
"Jesus, you didn't have to wait for me," Casey said. "Just tell Walter what you want."
He motioned for the cook to come to the table and poured himself a cup of coffee.
"Feed my friends, Walter," he ordered. "You name it, Walter can make it."
"Pheasant under glass," Torrine said, "with beluga caviar on toast corners on the side."
Casey chuckled.
"Yeah, the fish eggs aren't a problem, but catching the bird and plucking it may take Walter a little time."
"Bacon and eggs would satisfy this old man's hunger," Torrine said.
"Walter makes his own corned beef hash," Casey said.
"Even better," Torrine said.
"Me too, please," Castillo said.
"Make it three, please," McGuire said. "Where's that nice kid in the cop?" Casey asked.
"The former went to get the latter," Castillo said.
"You never told me about the cop," Casey said.
"He's been embedded with us," Castillo said.
"You don't seem to be very happy about that."
"I'm not." But Lorimer has him under control.
Sergeant Mulroney, wearing a coat and tie, came out of the house, followed by Lorimer. Lorimer pointed to one of the chairs at the table. Mulroney followed the orders and sat down.
"Good morning, Sergeant Mulroney," Castillo said. "We're about to have corned beef hash and eggs. Sound all right to you?"
Mulroney smiled wanly and nodded.
"I see what you mean," McGuire said.
Casey smiled at him, then announced,
"I just talked to the guys in the hangar. The new gear is up and running in your airplane, and Signature Flight Support has finished doing whatever they had to do to the G-3.
"Great," Torrine said.
"Thanks, Frank." "I suppose that means you're not going to hang around for a day? A couple of days, taking a couple of the shows?"
"We'll have to take a rain check, Frank," Castillo said.
"Yeah, I figured. Is there anything else I can do for you?"
"Now that you mention it," Casey made a give-it-to-me gesture.
"To get this guy back, we're going to need a team," Castillo said. "Maybe more than one, but at least one. And choppers to move them around. Choppers equipped with both a good GPS and one of your wonderful radios."
"Well, now that they've started giving the 160th what they need," Casey said, "they've got pretty good GPS equipment."
"What's the 160th? Mulroney interrupted.
"I'll tell you when you can ask questions, Charlie," Lorimer said.
"The 160th is the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, Mulroney," Castillo said, and turned to Casey. "But the problem there is I can't use their helicopters."
"Why not?"
Lorimer asked.
"I'll tell you when you can ask questions, Lieutenant," Castillo said seriously, waited for that to register on Lorimer's face, then smiled. "Hold the questions, Eddie, until your leader is finished."
"Yes, sir."
"The 160th has all the latest equipment," Castillo said, "which we would have trouble getting into Paraguay and or Argentina, just physically getting them down there. And even if we could do that, they would stick out like sore thumbs. We're going to have to do this black."
Castillo saw that Mulroney had opened his mouth as if to ask a question, and then, after a quick glance at Lorimer, had changed his mind.
Black means secretly. Covertly, Mulroney. Nobody knows about it, Castillo explained. Which means we're going to have to use Hueys.
Where are you going to get Hueys?
Taurine asked. And how are you going to get them down there black? Moving right along, Castillo said. While I am figuring out where to get Hueys and how to get them down there black, I thought I would send Muntz, Lorimer, and Mulroney down there right away.
I guess I don't get to go?
McGuire interrupted. Tom, you'll be more useful in Washington, Castillo said.
I guess,
McGuire said, sounding disappointed. But keep your bag packed, Castillo said. He went on. And on the airplane, if I can keep abusing Frank's generosity, there will be two, preferably three, ground versions of the radios. There's two old models down there already, and we're going to need at least two more in Paraguay. Plus, I just thought, operators for same. You'll probably have to stop by Bragg to pick them up, Jake.
Not a problem,
Taurine said.
The ones you have in South America still working?
Casey asked. You heard me talk to Argentina yesterday, Castillo said. Casey nodded, then offered,
I think there's a half dozen new models waiting to be shipped to Delta, to General McNabb at Bragg.
Think about that, Frank, Castillo said, stopping him. Maybe there's only three waiting to be shipped to General McNabb. The other three have mysteriously disappeared. If that was the case, I won't have to get on my knees and beg him for any.
If he finds out, he's not going to be happy.
I devoutly hope he never finds out, Castillo said. But a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. He looked at Lorimer. You may want to write that down, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir,
Lorimer said, and took a notebook from his pocket and started writing in it. Taurine and McGuire shook their heads. Mulroney appeared to be confused. Casey chuckled and said,
It'll take me a couple of days to come up with, what did you say, four? Sets of GPS and that many aviation radios. Maybe a little longer for them.
All contributions gratefully.
Yeah,
Casey interrupted impatiently. He took a cellular from his pocket and pushed a speed dial key.
Casey, he announced into it. There's a half dozen Model 3405s waiting to be shipped to Bragg. Put three of them in the Gulf Stream in the hangar.
Then he hung up.
What are you going to do about the ambassador?
McGuire asked. Try to hide from the one in Washington, Castillo replied, and put the one in Mississippi on hold. What I have to do now is get to Washington. Mulroney's face showed that he was trying hard to make sense of what had been said, and not having much success.